Well, good morning. Would you open your Bibles to John 6, the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We come before you, Lord, humbled, grateful, in worship. We come before you, Lord, with thankful hearts, with sincere hearts, with hearts that are ready to receive you and your Spirit and to look into your Word, to draw closer to you through Christ. We come to you, Lord, as a people who are ready, who are eager, who are seeking. And we pray, Father, that you would use this time to do just that, that you would use it to draw us near, to grow us, to build us. We pray, Lord, that as we look to the words and to the actions and to the ministry of our Lord Jesus, that we would be edified. We pray, Father, that we would grow. I pray that nothing would be said here in your church that would not bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we finally got some rain. How about that, huh? And it's been, I don't know how many weeks, but we have needed it. I know the grass is looking great, and I found myself just a couple of days ago standing outside and just letting that rain fall on my face and enjoying every minute of it. But, you know, it's one thing to be out in a drizzle. It's a totally different thing to be out in a storm. When we were first married, we were stuck, caught in a storm. It was July, and we had headed out to see some fireworks. We checked the forecast, and sure enough, it said it was going to be a beautiful night. There was no wind, the temperature was going to come down, not a cloud in the sky. Perfect weather for fireworks. So we head out. Well, about 6 o'clock, the weather changed, and a monsoon came in. And it dumped so much rain on us that the traffic around us on the roads around the field actually had to stop. And there we were, stuck in the middle of this field with this torrential downpour. No shelter, except for one. Somebody had brought their teepee, their canopy tent that you have for family outings and family events. And so there was this one 10 by 10 tent in the middle of this field, and about 100 of us were all trying to gather under it. Well, it didn't work with the wind and the rain. We were all soaked. We were just surprised. This storm came out of nowhere. And the storms of life come out of nowhere as well. Everything's going well. Everything's going great. The forecast is sunny. And then the next moment, without warning, you're stuck in a torrential downpour. I know one pastor whose family suffered that very thing. He's a pastor who's been in his existing ministry for about 40 years. He's a humble man, a loving father, devoted husband, you name it. He is a pastor's pastor. And his wife is equally terrific. She's a wonderful woman. She leads a ministry in their church. And put together, they are just a great couple. Well, one day their phone rang, and it was her doctor. She has cancer. And that couple was thrust into the storm of their lives. We all know what that's like, to be thrown into a time of hardship with no warning. We know how confusing that can be. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to respond or where to go. But we also know how relieved we are when we find out that it's going to be okay. We're going to get through this one. It won't be the end of us. There was a ship that was caught in a storm, a very bad storm, and the wind was rocking this boat, and the waves were crashing over the bow, and the passengers became worried. And so one of these passengers leaves the bottom deck and goes up to the wheelhouse to see how the pilot is doing. Well, the pilot looks at the passenger and gives him kind of an awkward smile. Well, the passenger left, and he goes back to the other passengers down below deck, and he says, "Everything is going to be okay. I have seen the face of the pilot, and all is well." It's nice when we know all is well, but we all face storms. 1 Peter 4 says, "Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though something strange has happened to you. We all face storms. So the question isn't, what do we do if a storm comes? But rather, what do we do when we find ourselves in difficulty, when we have these adversities in life, when these storms arrive? Do we stand in fear? Do we stand there trembling? Or do we go to the pilot of our life for help? Because, you know, oftentimes that's the goal of the trial. That's the point of the whole storm. It's to draw you close to God. One commentator put it this way: the Lord often makes his people fall into alarming dangers, that they may more plainly and familiarly recognize him in their deliverance. God can use temporary discomfort to build an eternal relationship. Hebrews 12 says, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens." And that's exactly what we see happening in chapter 6. Jesus is chastening his disciples. He's about to send them into the storm of their lives. And it's all part of a bigger lesson that we are to trust God in all circumstances. A lesson they're going to learn, and we're going to see here in John 6. Look at verse 15. "Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, 'It is I, do not be afraid.' Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going." You know, as I studied this passage this week, I noticed something. This passage is different. This sign is different than all the other ones we've seen. You see, in all of the other miracles that we've looked at so far in John, there's been a lot of conversation, a lot of dialogue, a lot of back and forth. For example, when Jesus turned the water into wine at the wedding feast, do you remember that? He tells the servant to fill up the stone water pots. His mother, Mary, tells the servants, do whatever he says. The waiter even comments that this was good wine. And so there's a lot of conversation. Then with the official son, more conversation. He begs Jesus to come with him. And Jesus says, "Go, your son will live." But we see that conversation. When Jesus heals the man by the pool of Bethesda, more conversation. Jesus asks the question, "Do you want to be made well?" And the man says, "Sure, I want to be made well, but I can't get to the water and nobody helps me on the way." But we see that conversation. Even in the very last miracle we looked at last week, where Jesus feeds the multitude of 15,000 people, there's a conversation between him and Philip and Andrew, but a lot of back and forth. Here, there's almost none. And actually, the only recorded speech in this entire passage is in verse 20, where Jesus says, "It is I, do not be afraid." That's it. There's no dialogue. And that's because this lesson isn't instructional. This lesson is applicational. It's all about action, not lecture. The lecture, the lesson, if you remember, that came in the last miracle where Jesus fed the crowd. The lesson was that they can trust him even when situations seem impossible. Well, this is the test. This is how they get to put that into practice. This is the application. You know, oftentimes the only way we really learn is to roll up our sleeves, get our hands dirty, and do it and see what happens. When I was first learning to build furniture, that's exactly what happened. I would watch the videos, I read the magazines and the books and got online and everything I could ingest in order to learn how to do this. But I found most of my learning came by doing it, by getting out in the shop and cutting up the boards and putting them together and learning from mistakes. Well, this is that for the disciples. This is a test. It's an applicational test. And Jesus sends them into this storm in order to show them they can apply what they've learned. And as we look at this storm and we look at this lesson, there's a few things I want to take away. And the first is that storms come unexpectedly. Look back to verse 18. "Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. You know, I get out to visit our members in the church. You know, weekly I'm visiting with somebody or more than one. And something I have learned, a lot of you have lived here your whole life. This is your hometown. You grew up here. You know the ins and outs. You know the streets, the landmarks. You know all about this area. I was just talking to somebody this past week about this past summer we just came out of, and I asked him, was this summer particularly dry or was this normal? And he said, well, in all the years that I've been here, this is one of the drier summers. He knew that because he could compare that. He'd been here his whole life. And that happens when a person lives in a place their whole lives or a large part of their life. They get to know the area very well. Well, for the disciples, this is their hometown. The Sea of Galilee, they grew up on this thing. They've been fishing it for as long as they can remember, and they have been through storms on this sea. The topography of the Sea of Galilee is such that very sudden, very violent storms often came about. And so for the disciples to be out on the lake and a storm to show up, that's nothing. They've been there before. They've seen many storms before, but this one is different. This is possibly the worst storm they have ever seen. And we know that because Mark gives us some details about this miracle that John doesn't. For example, Mark tells us that by the time Jesus shows up, it is the fourth watch of the night. Now, just to give you some background, there were 4 watches in a night. The first one began about 6 p.m., and that was when evening began. John records that, when evening came, when evening began. That started officially the first watch, 6 p.m. That would go for 3 hours until the second watch, and so on and so forth. So by the time we get to the fourth watch, it has been 12 hours that they've been on this sea. 12 hours they've been fighting this storm. They've been rowing against the current. 12 hours their boat has been battered by the waves. For 12 hours they've been battling. And they're only 3 to 4 miles or halfway across the sea. This journey usually took about 2 hours. And in 12 hours they've gone halfway. You all know what snow is like. If you live around here, you know what snow is. But last year, that was a snowstorm, wasn't it? That was a blizzard. And I talked to people who said, I've seen snow. I have never seen snow like that. More than 3 feet in a single storm. Well, for the disciples, they have seen storms. But they have never seen a storm like this. And so John says they were afraid. But that's how life goes, isn't it? All is well. There's no sign of trouble, no cloud in the sky. And then out of nowhere, something happens. Out of left field, you lose your job. Or the doctor calls with bad news, or a loved one passes away. It could be anything where all of the sudden you're on the defensive. And very often, those things come out of things that are familiar. Maybe even something you enjoy. The least suspected place. That's what happened with the disciples. They knew this sea. They enjoyed this sea. It provided nourishment for their families. Their livelihood revolved around this sea. And out of this comes this storm. I remember our first miscarriage. And I say our first because we've had a couple. But I remember how excited we were when we found out that Melissa was pregnant. I remember we were looking at baby names and we bought clothes. We ran right out to one of the farm stores and got a John Deere onesie because it had to be John Deere, but we did that. We told our friends. We put it on Facebook. If you're a Facebooker, you know life is not official until it's on Facebook. This was on Facebook. We were that excited. And then one day, out of nowhere, we're sitting at dinner and she's not feeling well. And it gets a little worse and a little worse. And before we know it, we're on our way to the emergency room to learn that we had lost the baby. That was a storm. And during storms, people oftentimes ask the question, where did I go wrong? I thought I was doing everything right. I pray, I go to church, I really try to grow my relationship with the Lord. I try to live as Christ would. I study my Bible, I'm friendly to my neighbor, I work hard when I'm at work, I'm honest. I do things the right way, and it still happened. But here's the thing. Storms in life, hardship, adversity, it will come even when a person's obedient. The disciples are only on this sea and in this storm because they were obedient. In Mark 6, it says, he made his disciples get into the boat. They didn't want to be there. The last thing they wanted to do was get into the boat and head off and leave their Lord behind. But it's exactly what he told them to do, and so they did it, and yet the storm still comes. You see, obedience doesn't mean adversity stops. God uses adversity to show us he can pull us through. So storms come unexpectedly. Second, Jesus acts faithfully. Look at verse 19. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." And they willingly received him into the boat. You know, when we were first dating, I had made plans one time. And one of our first dates, we were going to go to this restaurant on top of the mountain just outside of Albuquerque. And I thought, this is going to be terrific. We're going to go up there. We're going to eat outside. It'll be real romantic. Terrific plan. But then I was running late. And I don't remember why I was running late. I'm usually not a late person. But for some reason, this time I was. And I was pretty frustrated with myself. And then it started to rain. You know, New Mexico gets like 300 days of sunshine a year. Wouldn't you know this wasn't one of them? I'm late and it's raining and we have an outdoor date. But my wife has always had a cooler head than me. And so she said, "It's okay, it'll be fine, we'll just go, we'll see what happens." And so we did. And I'm glad we did, because it stopped raining while we were on the way. But what we found out was because I was late, it put us on top of the mountain right at sunset. And because of the rain, there was a rainbow, and we got one of our favorite pictures from that. Now, perfect timing is not always our timing. I wanted that storm to be done as soon as it started. The first drop that fell, I was going, "Please, don't let this happen." But if I hadn't been late, we wouldn't have been there at sunset. If it hadn't have rained, we wouldn't have had the rainbow and the story and the picture. I'm sure the disciples would have liked this storm to have been over as soon as it started. Here they are without their Lord, without their protector, in the middle of this sea, and the storm of their lives erupts. And as soon as that first wave crashed over the bow, I'm sure they were saying, "We would like this to be done." But the thing is, Jesus acting faithfully does not always mean he acts immediately. Sometimes God's perfect timing is not as soon as the storm hits. Sometimes that would actually be the worst timing. Remember, the whole point of this is so that the disciples can apply what they've learned. What are they applying? That they can trust Christ when it's impossible. Well, they have to be brought to that point. And for them, that means this storm has to go on, because people don't surrender when they think they can do it themselves. We have to get to the point of impossibility. We have to get to our limit. And God knows exactly where that is, and he will take you there. 1 Corinthians 10 says, "God is faithful and will not allow you to be tested beyond what you are able." In other words, he will take you to your limit. And at the moment of impossibility, and at the moment you can't go on your own, he steps in and helps you through the rest of the way. I like what one person said. "Many Christians can attest that it was just as the bill was due that the money came in, or just when the food ran out that a friend was sent to help." Jesus acting faithfully doesn't mean he acts immediately. It also doesn't mean he acts forcibly. Notice in verse 21, they willingly received him, and then he got into the boat, and immediately they were at shore. He doesn't do anything until they ask. You know, Owen, our 5-year-old, he's at the age, and Sierra's getting there, where they can do it on their own. "I can do it myself. I don't need any help. I'll do it all by myself." And usually it works out well, but for Owen, he hasn't quite figured out shirt buttons yet. And so when he goes to get undressed in the evening and his shirt is buttoned, I don't know how many times we have seen this boy pull his shirt up over his head, but his head's too big and so it gets stuck. And he's got this shirt on his head and he's walking around the house, pulling on it, running into stuff, crying. And we're saying, Owen, do you want some help? No, I got it myself. I can do it. We're standing there. We're ready to help, but he won't ask. We need to ask for help. Psalm 50 says, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. You have a Savior that is ready to walk through the most impossible storm of your life to help. We need to ask. So Jesus acting faithfully doesn't mean he acts immediately. It doesn't mean he acts forcibly. And always, he doesn't act predictably. Look at verse 19 again. They saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat. Now, I can't imagine, because I wasn't on that boat, but if I was, I believe they would have been shocked. Well, they were shocked because this is the last thing they expected to see. Jesus walking on water to get to them. But that's exactly what he did. There was a woman who fell on some hard times and was unable to pay her grocery bill. So she would pray every day, Lord, send me some groceries. I can't afford the food. And she would pray kind of loud, but her neighbor in the next door apartment was an atheist. And it bugged him that he could hear her prayer through the wall. And so he'd bang on that wall every day. Knock it off. No one's listening anyway. Well, she was faithful. She kept on praying and praying until finally one day for him, it got to a boiling point. And he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go buy those groceries and I'm going to give it to her. And I'm going to show her that God didn't hear her prayer and I'm the one that gave her the food. So it's exactly what he did. He went out to the store, he filled out a bag of groceries, delivered it to the lady's door. There was a knock. She opens the door, and sure enough, here's this rude neighbor with a bag of food. And he said, see, God didn't hear you. I'm providing your food. Now you can knock it off. And she stood back, and in disbelief goes, Lord, I knew you'd provide. I never knew you'd make the devil pay for it. The point is, Jesus doesn't always help the way we might expect. Sometimes he helps by pulling us ashore. Sometimes he lets us figure it out. Sometimes he pushes us in the right direction. Sometimes he removes things from our life that are distractions. Sometimes he keeps things away that we really, really want, but he knows will be harmful. You see, Jesus acting faithfully doesn't mean he always acts predictably. So storms come unexpectedly. Jesus acts faithfully. Third, storms pass eventually. Look at verse 21. Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at land where they were going. If you remember last week, I said one of the hardest parts of difficulty is not knowing the plan. We don't know how it's going to end up. And so from our estimation as people, what we're dealing with is how it will always be. We can't see any end in sight. It feels like we're in the middle of a sea and we're rowing and rowing and fighting and fighting and trying. But we can't see the shore and all the waves are crashing in our life and all the stuff is going on. And it feels like it will stay that way forever. But the thing is, all storms pass eventually. One of the hardest things I think about being a new parent are the first few months. Because no one sleeps. The babies cry. There's no routine. And it seems like it will be like that forever. But you know, one day you wake up and you realize something. You have just slept all night. You haven't done that in 3 or 4 months. So you rush to make sure the baby's okay and the baby's fine. And you realize we're passing that time. And you look over and a child that needed your undivided 24-hour attention is now playing with a toy. And you realize they're learning to occupy themselves. And you learn what the cries mean. You learn the tone, the pitch, even the cadence. And you know what cry is I'm hurt or something's wrong versus I'm hungry versus I'm just tired. And sometimes there's just those whiny cries, but you know what they are. And you step back and you realize we are moving beyond that time. In 2012, one of the worst storms to ever hit the U.S. hit the East Coast, up and down the New Jersey, New York shore. Hurricane Sandy, you all remember that. Waves came, the flood came, hundreds of people died, winds were more than 114 miles an hour. It was an awful time. But you know what happened the next day? You could still see the effects, but the sea was calm. The waves had calmed. That storm had passed. It's possible that you're going through the worst storm of your life. I'm sure there's someone here who says, I have never been in a harder spot in life than I am right now. And it can feel like it will never get any better, like it's going to last forever. But it won't. No storm lasts forever. It might be frightening and you might be scared. That's okay. The disciples were afraid too. And they were on a sea they knew. But it will pass. David told us in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, the last time I checked, if you can walk through something, you can get through something. And by the other side of it, you look back and you say, you know what? I made it. That was tough. But I'm on the other side and now this is in my past and I can look to clearer skies. David goes on to say in Psalm 30, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You know, after that miscarriage, we thought we never wanted to try again. No way were we going to expose ourselves to that level of pain. But you know, I remember how excited we were when we found out that Melissa was pregnant with what would become Owen. How that storm had passed. All storms pass eventually. Every person here has been through a storm. Everybody knows what that is. You know what hardship feels like. You know what it's like to have an unknown difficulty thrown your way. Acts 14 says, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Everyone goes through a storm. Sometimes, many times. So the question isn't what happens if, but what do we do when? How do we respond to these things? Where do we go to for help? Well, first of all, remember that storms will come unexpectedly. So expect the unexpected. Second, we trust that Jesus will act faithfully. It might not be right away. It might not be when we think he should or in the way we think he should, but he is there and he will act. He says he will never forsake you or leave you. You have a God that will do that. And third, we remember that every storm, no matter how hard it is, how upsetting it is, they all pass. And you have a God that will be with you every step of the way, even if he has to walk through the storm to get there, and he will carry you through. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much that you are a God that carries us through. We pray, Lord, that we would remember that every time we come against adversity in life and hardship and difficulty. We pray, Father, that as we enter those times of life, we know that they will come. We live in a fallen world, after all. Storms, difficulty, it's part of life here on earth. We understand that. But we also know that you are a God who can navigate everything and you can pull us through. And so right when we get to the point where we can't go on anymore, let us remember to trust you, to fall into your arms, to let you be our guide, just as the disciples did. Willingly receiving you into our lives to be the one who takes us through. Lord, we thank you so much for the lesson of the Bible and how it truly does train us for righteousness. We pray that you would use this in our lives, that this would be applied. This would not just be something that lands on our ears and makes it to our brain, but Lord, have it go all the way to our heart and transform us, to sanctify us, to make us more like Christ, trusting him more and more every single day. And it's in his name that we pray this morning. Amen.